And welcome, Daniel White. How are you?
I'm great. Great. Thanks for having me, Paul.
I am very excited you're here. I think you're going to be the first sort of financial expert. Is that how you describe yourself on my show?
Well, actually, I'm a high performance energy coach and spiritual healer. So who had a lot of financial issues when I started my business 30 years ago and developed a system to help me get over all that financial stress and anxiety and your sleepless nights and everything. And then I decided, well, why don't I started teaching to my clients, and then I wrote a book. Yeah. So that's how it all evolved.
Yeah,
so financial expert, I'm not sure, but definitely changing the programming in our bodies, our minds, our consciousness around money.
So. I think that's a great opener. I've got your book here. Yeah, very motivating. Even I was looking at my finances on the train when I was reading this. I was like, right, I need to sort some stuff out. Obviously, you're the author of The Financial Freedom System, which we're going to go into. But what are we getting wrong with our finances? Why is it such a problem for us?
The problem is people give their power to money instead of money being a tool for our life.
Okay.
Money is just a form of exchange of energy. You know how you transact it's just a tool, but people put so much emotional energy and mental energy on it that it starts to control us and overwhelm us with all the stress and so forth. And then we start to get controlled by it and then by others because of it. And the whole point of this work I'm doing is helping people to get their power back and make money a tool again instead of a controller, and also not build up your inner strength so that you're in charge and not others like marketing or advertising or people trying to sell you things. You learn how to build up your inner strength, your foundation in yourself, so that you can hear your intuition and have the power to take action on it. The gut instinct is there, but most people don't have the strength and they get swayed this way or swayed that way, and then pretty soon they're empty, the bank balance is empty.
Yeah. So besides having an empty bank balance, what are signs that money is controlling us?
When we spend spontaneously,
okay,
without actually stopping to, is this good for me?
Mm.
Oh, is this good for me? Or we get stressed about spending money. Like we feel a lot of tension in our bodies. It's like, it's just a transaction. So why are we feeling this physiological tension? That's an indicator that there's something wrong with money, your relationship with money. Mm. That's all it's about. We want to transform your relationship with money so that money becomes a tool and you're in charge.
I love that. I love that. I think a lot of people can relate to that sort of tension when it comes to paying for something, or a bill comes in.
Oh, yeah.
Or taxes need to be paid. Everyone puts their tax bill off to the last minute and then does the mad rush to the accountant.
Well, it's interesting. I used to experiment a lot with the taxes. As I was building this relationship with money, I would experiment with paying my taxes, when to pay it, when to submit. And I found that it got to the point where it was like midnight, the night before the start of the next year, I would have submitted it immediately. I wouldn't wait for the deadline 3 months later. I would do it right at the end. And I would feel this freedom in my body. And what I found out as I was studying it more and more, the people that didn't meet the deadline, the government deadline, they connected with everyone else in the country who hadn't done their taxes. So suddenly it was this extra overwhelm that came on top of them, which was even harder to do the taxes. So it was like it took even longer and more energy and more effort to do the taxes, which is crazy, instead of you being the boss and you being in charge. And then when the tax bill comes in, you write a check because you've already got the funds sitting there. There's no stress. Like, actually, that's what I teach about in the book, is how to overcome all this. So suddenly it's like, oh, it's just money, right? It becomes free. And then because you're more relaxed, your physiology is more relaxed, your mind is clear, you're more grounded. Then when decisions come to you, you're like, oh, yes or no. It's very clear. And you have the power to act on that intuition, on that gut instinct.
So. I love that. I love that. So what are the steps someone can take now listening to this? They're thinking, okay, this all sounds very good. I feel like I'm being controlled by money. I know that tension. I know that feeling. what can they begin to do to become the controller of money, to begin to use it as a tool?
Well, first of all, get the book, because I made the book so simple to, and when you read it, it's like very simple language, very simple steps of how to do the process to transform your life, transform your physiology, transform your unconsciousness, even your subconscious, transforming that so that you are free.
Mm.
And the best way to know, another way to know if you're really stressed about money, is if you close your eyes and think about your bank account balance and see how it is. You might have to look it up before you do it. But when you see it, you see how your body feels. Does it feel relaxed? Does it feel a little tension? So you're getting a relationship with how your body, your physiology below the neck is feeling. Now, some people can't even feel below the neck because there's so much stress in their brain.
True.
So that's an indicator, okay, I'm not even in charge of my own body. Something, my mind's being controlled by money. So once you get that sense of what it feels like, then you visualize the bank account with your whole salary for a whole year sitting in the account. So whatever you earn for a year, you see that in your bank balance. And when you see that, then you see, well, how is my body feeling now? Now, if your body feels better, which most people it does, feels better with the seeing the whole bank balance in there, the whole salary for the year in there, then suddenly, why wouldn't I want to live that way? To feel more relaxed, to feel more at peace in your body. The problem with that is you visualize it, but as soon as you stop thinking about it, it's gone, because it's just a visual representation of what is possible. So now the whole point of the book and the process is to get to that point where you actually live that peace in your body. You live that freedom with money. You're in charge of money, and money's not in charge of you.
I love that.
We're just using the visualization to show you the difference between what's real now and what's possible. And seeing, because some people, when they feel their body go, relax, they're thinking of that full bank balance, you know, the whole year's income sitting in there and just the whole body relaxed. Then they start to go below the neck and start to feel their actual body. And they realize, hang on, I need to look after my body as well. So there's all these side benefits are coming from getting back below the neck and getting back into your body and getting grounded.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, you know, if we could just listen to our bodies more, you know, I think it's got some things to request from us, you know.
And then have the strength to follow that. Most people get the intuition or get the gut instinct, but they don't have the strength to actually take action. And that's what the whole book is about, getting you the power inside of you to take action on your gut instinct, take action on your intuition to go forward.
Yeah, so, I love that. So there was a warning in your book. There was a warning at the beginning, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. And it says, this book isn't for anyone who is addicted to financial stress.
Yes.
Yeah, so just tell me, what does that look like? What is it? Because I thought that was fascinating. And I love that you put that. It's almost like a I dare you type of.
Right.
You know, yeah. It's a good.
I don't even read another page because it's a waste of your time. If you're addicted to that financial stress, because people who are addicted to financial stress, if they even feel an inkling of peace in their body or relaxation in the mind, they get stressed.
Yeah.
They got to go and get a fix. It's like people who are adrenaline junkies, right? They're addicted to the adrenaline. As soon as they try and relax, no, I've got to go and do something else. I've got to go and, you know, climb this mountain or do, you know, it's just, they got to keep the addiction going. So I have another program for addictions, but that's another story. So, but people who say, you know what? Yeah, I'm sick of, like for me, I was sick and tired of being broke. That was it. I was very successful in the beginning, but my bank balance showed that I invested so much in building the business, I had no money, even though I made 5 years. That's why how I started the program. I got to that 5-year mark. If your business lasts in 5 years, you're doing all right. And I got to that point, but I was broke. I was like, nah. And the stress and the sleepless nights, it was like, no, this is enough. I'm tired of this. I don't want to do this anymore. So that drive, now that's another part of what do you need to do to get to get this freedom, to get this financial foundation. You've got to have a drive, a desire to change your life.
Mm.
I'm tired of my financial stress. I'm tired of the sleepless nights. I want to change. And when you make that commitment and put the action in there, then you get to get the results, like that visualization of the full bank account. So, and then we're building this financial accelerator, which is an online program for a year, where every week you're getting accountability calls, you're getting, you know, like the emails, the videos to help you in the process. So you keep going towards that goal of that freedom.
I love that. And do you think, you know, you described that night where almost like a, you know, a reckoning, an awakening, where you weren't just went, no more. How do you look back at that time? I mean, are you grateful for that now that
you've
gone through this dark period and you'd suddenly had this sort of revelation that it was, you couldn't go forward?
There is no way I could be as successful as I am now if I hadn't gone through that. I have I'm booked out for this year. I'm already starting to get bookings for 2025 for my work. Amazing. And it's like, there's no way. I was worried about where's the next client back then.
Yeah.
When I started the business, I didn't have that stress and people would just come because you would get very attractive when you have that peace.
Yeah.
But as soon as the stress comes in, you start to push opportunities away. You know, anyone knows if some salesperson comes towards you that's stressed, they have, what do they call it? Salesman's breath or whatever.
Oh.
Right? It's like you go, whoa, no, don't get near me, because you feel you're repulsed by their fear and their stress.
Yeah.
So when you do this process and you start to get that transformation below the neck, you become attractive. People come towards you. Opportunities come towards you. I had one guy who was very successful in his business, but he couldn't find a girlfriend, couldn't get a relationship. And it was because the women he would approach, they could see he was financially successful, but they could feel his stress and they didn't want to come near him.
Mm.
As soon as he started building his financial foundation in below his neck, he became attractive. Now he has a family, you know, his whole life changed.
I think there's something in pheromones with that as well, isn't it? We predict people, stress is contagious. There's something about pheromones. So it's not just on an energetic level. There's so many other different factors pointing at this person has an issue. And we can often pick up on that and find ourselves being, you know, almost like repulsed or just wanting to have some distance.
And when I've worked with companies where all the team members are doing the program for themselves for their own financial stability, the business grows. Because their stress levels go down, so suddenly the company gets more attractive. It's like a cumulative group effect and has the ripple effect out into the world, and the company starts to get better.
Mm.
And then anyone who's like says, I don't want to do this, they actually start to leave the company because they're not a right fit for the culture of growth. So it's fascinating. Yeah, or family.
I'm all for that. And one thing I noticed in your book, and you know, and I think it's very clear, you know, you have a deep sense of spirituality, and you talk about connecting to God, in regards to, you know, making, you know, financial requests and, you know, that sort of connection can help you. Can you explain a little bit more about that?
So that's how it all started. I just said, I basically got on my knees and said, God, I need your help. I need to get over this problem of not having money, always having financial stress. And then God showed me the vision, because I get a lot of my messages from God through vision. Mm-hmm. And the vision came of the drill on the airline, put your oxygen mask on yourself first before you help others.
Okay, yeah.
As soon as I was like, and then I realized, I've been paying everyone else first before me. I get whatever's left over, which is usually nothing or debt, right? Okay. So just changing that, flipping that around and putting the oxygen mask myself first, paying myself first before I pay others, things started to change. So I always go to God for all my work, basically. He's my boss, so I just work for him. And I just ask God, okay, and say I'm going for a new goal and I want to increase this part of my business, I want to increase this income or whatever. I say, God, does this feel good, right? And then God will say, and I can feel the right amount that I should be charging for a new program or the right amount whether I should work with this client or not. It's very clear. I couldn't do that before because of the stress. The stress would block any sort of messages or block any sort of ability to take action on any intuition that did come to me. So it was like talking to God and asking for guidance, help is really important to get forward movement. And let, hey, God, this is what I'd like to do. How does it feel? Is it a good deal for me? Because it could, might not be good for you. And I've had times where I wanted to do something and I check in and everything in my body says, nope. I say, okay, great. Good to know. This is not for me. And then I try something else. Oh, yes, that's the way to go. So.
I love that. I love that. And do you find there's some resistance from your clients in regard to the spiritual side of things? Or do people seem quite welcoming or open? I mean, some people are listening to this, might be thinking they might be skeptical. What you know, have you met anything, any resistance at all?
Well, I'm open to helping everybody. So I've noticed even those, what I learned over the years, people who do not believe in God, there's a struggle in their own companies or in their families and so forth. They don't have, people who believe in God have the ability to ask outside of themselves for help. Whereas people who don't believe in God don't have the ability to ask for help. So they say they're asking their team members to do something for a project. They don't have the ability to convey their energy out. And so they end up telling the team what to do. And then there's a resistance from the team to follow and to, there's no teamwork involved. So it's very hard. They struggle so hard because of that lack of the ability to ask outside of themselves. So that small skill, which is massive, right, has
powerful.
A ripple effect in their whole life. And families, the same thing. They don't have the ability to ask the children or ask their spouse for help or have a conversation. The communication is broken down because they don't have that inner ability to ask for help by talking to God.
So, I think it is important, whether what you want to call it, God or whatever your faith is, to realize that you're part of something much bigger than yourself. And asking for help is amazing. Even if you get your own insights, if that's what you believe, you know, it's amazing what begins to come to the surface once you've made that request. It's such a powerful thing to do.
It is. And when people say, well, I just talk to the universe. I say, well, the universe has positive and negative. So who's answering?
No.
Right? So then they go, oh, that's a good point. So you will get information and then God will guide you through your intuition whether you should do it or not. Say you get, oh, okay, universe, I want to do this. And you got all excited above the neck about it, right? You're all excited about it. But then something in your body says, I'm not sure about that, right?
Yeah.
That's God talking to you. That's your gut instinct, your intuition. God, your intuition is God answering you or talking to you.
Okay.
So they even have the connection to God, even though they don't believe in God or they talk to the universe. So the universe will always provide whatever you ask for. But what's good for you might be different to what you're asking for. And that's
do you
where
think,
God...
I also remember asking for things for my highest good. Whenever
that's
I ask for
terrific.
Something, I think that's a way of just knowing that even if it appears like there's a challenge appearing, even if it's a financial challenge, that it's for my highest good. And just like you had your challenges and how you got to be where you are now, it's as you said, you wouldn't change that for the world because it was part of your awakening to take you to the level of success and help that you give people now.
I had such big goals with my business when I started out that I would invest so much in marketing and my intuition was saying, don't do it. Don't waste your money. God will provide, right? I thought, well, I've got to get the word out there, you know, and said, don't worry. And then once I changed my attitude, people started to come and I didn't have to spend any money anymore on the advertising and the marketing. So that disappeared. Now you want to advertise to let people know you exist, not to try and sell. Let them know, because people, when they're looking for, I really need this help. Then you, because they're asking outside of themselves, God, I need this help. Then they will attract to you. They will attract to themselves, you or whatever service they need, and it will come towards them. Then they have to listen to their intuition. Is this the right service or shall I keep looking? Because sometimes the universe will send anything to you because you put up, if you put it strong enough, then you've got to be discerning. Is this a good one or a bad one for my highest good? And quite often you'll get, as you build up your grounding and your foundation in yourself, the correct one comes to you faster. You don't get distracted as easily by the negative. So the positive for you comes faster because you're building up your inner strength, your attraction. So you attract the right thing to you a lot faster.
No, I agree with that. That's really worked with me in business as well, is You know, it is easy to attract lots of work. And you know, when I first started as a therapist here in Brighton, people were telling me, don't do it because there's too many therapists. You'll never earn enough money from that. And I nearly fell for it. I was like, oh, well, that sounds terrible. And then I was like, hang on a second. That sounds a little limiting. And I've never been short of work. I've never been short of work. And my work has changed so much over the years. And I just know with utter faith that the right people will be brought to my door. That's all I know. And that's what I'll go with. Yeah.
That's your foundation. So it's a great example there. When I was first started open my practice in Australia, I was so busy. People were just coming. And then I started hearing stories about people saying, wow, you're so expensive and you know this. And I started to doubt myself.
Mm.
Whereas before I just turn up to the office and people would be there. And so I was like, okay, so I dropped my prices. And then suddenly the people, what they used to get results in one session at the higher price, it took 5 sessions, which they were spending more money to get the same result. And I was like, this is wrong. So I had to learn about the money. There's a certain point where if you charge another dollar or another pound or another euro above, they get all the results. But if you charge under, they don't. And then they've got to come back and spend more money. It's like buying something in the shop that doesn't have the quality and then it breaks and you just waste all the money, you're going to go and buy it again. Whereas if you just spend a little bit more that feels right, then you got this great result. And that was a huge learning about money and the relationship of the exchange of energy between a therapist and a client or anything in life. When you're buying something, you want to make sure that exchange is appropriate. Like if I was doing my work out in the desert, people wouldn't bring me money. They would bring me like a chicken or a bag of oranges or something like that as the exchange.
Yeah.
Because there's a respect for they're receiving something, they want to give something. That's how we work on this planet. We've got to have the exchange of energy. Otherwise, we're in trouble. We don't just breathe in oxygen. We've got to expel carbon dioxide to feed the plants. You know, it's like this constant back and forth of exchange of energy. So finding what is the appropriate point of charging for your services or paying for other services, what's the appropriate point? You might pay more but get a huge result, and other times you'll spend more and you get no result because it's out of integrity. You weren't listening to your
Yeah, I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that. Yes. I'm going to go to dive into, you know, we're talking about the energy of money, and you know, we've been looking at, you know, with the economy and inflation and all these sort of worldwide events. Do you think that pours into this almost like this victim mindset around money and the economy? And we can all get pulled in and hypnotized into believing this story.
Yes.
Which we 100%. Then sort of, we live out. Tell me your thoughts about that.
So what happens is if you don't have this foundation below the neck, this financial foundation, you are easily swayed. The wind blows you around. And the wind in this case is the economy, the government, the people talking on the street. There's this, you don't have the grounding. So you get swayed this way and that by what people are talking about. But when you've got this grounding and you've got this power below the neck where you're in charge of money, no matter it, the breeze just goes by you. It doesn't hit you. So the wind or the storm, in this case, it's a storm, right? A global storm's going on. So you actually stand there, and it's interesting when I'm checking that energy, I'm going out and testing that energy, I can feel how it's affecting my mind and my body. So I say, no, I want to stay in my truth and then contribute my energy to the world rather than being a victim to what the world is doing to me. It's all mental. It's all above the neck. Money is just a tool, but people put so much energy into it that you lose all your power. You give your power away to this thing called money.
Yeah, it becomes that scarcity mindset, doesn't it? And it's that's, you know, got to learn to break out of that and just recognize that it's actually there.
Yeah.
You know, it's very easy to put blame onto everyone and everything that's going on in regards to your financial situation. And yeah, we know that there are circumstances which might not be helpful, but I think people are forgetting their true power here.
They don't realize they have any.
And
if they catch themselves blaming all the time and then they start to not like that, something doesn't feel right about blaming the government, blaming the economy, blaming the community, whatever. It's like, that's like a similar situation that I had about, no, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to blame anymore. I want to take my power back. And so doing the process is like building your strength up inside of you so that you, the economy, the others, there's no more hitting you. You're not blaming anymore. You're actually contributing and improving the situation. So you change your whole position in the society and in the world.
How do you think, I mean, it might sound obvious, but how would someone listening to this know that they've got a bit of a scarcity mindset going on? What do you think they would notice?
First thing is, if they want to spend money, they feel tension in their body.
Yeah.
Or they have a bill come in. Like when the bill's coming for me, it's like, no problem.
Yeah.
Unless it's, and it's really cool because I can feel when the scams come now.
Okay.
Hang on, that doesn't feel right. So God's telling me this is a scam. So I just say, no. You know, it's and then I look deeper and I go, oh, yeah, it's a scam. But when you're stressed, you don't see that.
Yeah,
you just
yeah.
get sucked into, I've got to pay this bill or whatever. And then even like people have so many subscriptions or that sort of thing, or and it's like, hang on, I don't actually use that. Why am I paying? Why am I giving my money away to an idea of fun or whatever that actually is not contributing anything to my life? So you start to get those things disappear out of your life. And it's funny, I talk about it in the book about a guy who called me because he noticed that he would every week he would take the trash out of the kitchen or the rubbish out of the kitchen 2 times a week. And suddenly he was only doing it once a week and the family was losing weight. So as he was building his foundation account, it was affecting the whole energy of the family and they stopped eating as much. They weren't stressed because when we're stressed, we eat more, we spend more.
Yeah,
so,
nice.
So that's how they started to lose weight. It was like so cool. And their energy levels went up just by building the foundation in their home.
What do you think would help someone begin to listen to their intuition? And I teach meditation and I would say that's a wonderful tool, but is there anything else? I mean, do you recommend meditation with your clients? What do you say for getting in contact?
I would say go below the neck.
Yep.
So putting your hands on your heart, or putting your fingers, so you're focusing on this part of your body. So you're getting out of your head, coming down into your body and focusing there, or on your hips, you know, putting your hands on your hips and feeling your hips. So you're bringing all your attention from your head down to that point in your body, or your knees if you're sitting. So you're bringing your attention away from your head and breathing. So it's a combination of the breathing and attention. And by doing that, they start to get connection to their physiology. Of course, when they stop meditating, it goes back to normal, right? But they have this little space where they feel at peace. So, and then they can ask, well, how can I keep this more in my life, right? And that's when God will start giving you the information of what you can do to bring more peace into your life. So you don't have to rely on the meditation for the results. Then you use meditation as a growth, like an expansion tool rather than a recovery tool. So you actually can get to a point where you have so much peace that when you meditate, you're actually going to a new level of peace.
I love that. I just want to bring up on something. If how does someone tell the difference between God talking to them through their intuition and actually it's just not, and it's just fear from an old program? How would they know?
If you have fear, it's not from God.
Okay.
God is love. Fear comes from the universe because it's part of the universe. It's just energy or part of the planet.
Yeah.
So if there's any fear, you know it's not from God. So
okay.
I just tell the fear, I'm with God. Like it's just an energy. So you're telling it, no, I'm with God. I choose to be with God or something like that. So you're starting to even that action, telling it no, you're taking your power back.
So now, even an answer of no would come with a feeling of, so say it was like, don't go in that direction. Would it be like a feeling of love, something that just says no? What would it be?
It's a knowing more than a
feeling. Lovely. Okay, that explains. Yeah, brilliant.
That help? So
yeah, yeah.
So you know, it's a knowing, because you can have feelings in your body, which can be from your upbringing, could be from genetics, it could be from society, environment. But to have a knowing is a deep inner knowing. Oh, it doesn't feel right. And you don't know why, you can't explain it, but it's just that there. Or this feels right.
Yep.
And you trust it. And then it's like, well, then you, of course, you have to use your mind. Can I afford it? Or, you know, does this work? And maybe it's not now, maybe it's next year, you know. And
Okay.
so that's something to build. Say there's an event or a holiday you want to go on, it feels right, but the mind will want to go there tomorrow, right? Or
Okay,
today. So you say, well, okay, when's a good time for this? And say the timing is next year or the year after. You have time to prepare your savings for the trip or for a workshop, whatever you want to go and do. You're starting to build up for that. And if you were meant to do it earlier, the money just comes to you. It's like I have clients that happens all the time because they're so in tune with their knowing and their intuition that they get, oh, it's time to go and do that workshop. And they've done the financial foundation. They have the foundation. So they already have the money sitting there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. And just as another quick question, you seem to separate the God from the universe. Can you tell me a little bit about that? How is it separate in your mind? So how does that work?
So God, or well, the universe is positive and negative, right?
Okay.
Black and white. It's cold and hot. It's like the balance.
Okay.
And then on the spiritual side, it's the good and the evil, right? Or the good and the negative, positive and negative.
Okay.
So God created all this for our experience. We have freedom of choice to choose which way to go. Do we want to go to the good or the bad? Do you want to go the light or the dark? Do you want to go the positive or negative? So we have a freedom of choice to do it. God will guide us, which is the best way for, like you said, the highest and best for yourself. And then it's up to us to take action on that. So God's the boss of everything. You're just talking to the boss. And so instead of just, it's like the boss, like you have this idea in the office, oh, we're going to do this and we have this party. And then no one asks the boss. And the boss, if you actually go to the boss and say, well, actually, it's not really good for our finances right now, or the budget. Can we do it next week? And it's like suddenly there's this, so there's a relationship between the boss and the environment. So the universe is the environment.
Okay.
God's the boss.
Okay, lovely. I wanted to clear that out because some people would be like, I thought the God was universal, or they might have different beliefs. And it's nice to hear what you think. It's just that sort of get some clarification on that. And going back to your wonderful financial freedom system, how in a nutshell, how does that work for someone listening to this? You know, I know it explains it beautifully in the book and it is incredibly simple, but in a nutshell, how, what, you know, what is it and what
so
could
the
a person
whole
do with
point
it?
of doing the process, it's a weekly process you do, and it takes, you can get down to less than 5 minutes a week. It's like no time out of your life.
Yeah.
But you're building a foundation over time. If you're in a deep hole, if you've dug a deep hole for yourself with your finances, every week you're putting another layer, you're stepping another layer above, and you're pulling yourself out of the hole. So suddenly you get up your head above ground and say, oh, I can breathe, you know, like there's a bit of fresh air. That's a bit like, on the fuel tank in your car when the red light is on, you're like, oh my God, you're so stressed. And then as soon as you put the fuel in there, oh, you relax because the light goes off. So when your head gets above ground, your light's off, you've got enough fuel, enough reserve, but you're not fully out of the ground yet. You're still, the rest, you're below the neck is still underground in the hole. So you keep doing the process until your whole body is above ground. And then once your whole body is above ground, you feel so different and you have so much strength in your body. You're not struggling anymore. There's more of a flow. And when you're at that point, then you can build up to a next level, which I talk about in the book about, I call it the critical mass.
Yeah.
Where it's a point where you, even if you had no money, you feel peace. It doesn't affect you. So you actually get to a point, it's like getting a lump of coal and all the heat and pressure you put on it turns to a diamond. There's a point where the diamond can never go back to the coal.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to you when you're doing the process. You get to this critical mass where there's a point of no return, that you actually can never go back. No matter if you lose all your money, and I've had this with clients where they go bankrupt for some reason because of the environment or global financial crisis, whatever, and they feel at peace. And then they just start, they build again. There's
I
no
hear that. Yeah, I've heard that so many times. And you often wonder what their mindset is. And so you're describing that, I think, beautifully. And yeah, the financial system is very simple.
Yeah.
And I think that's,
I mean, I remember one
that's
guy, he was doing his financial system in his home. He didn't use a bank.
Yeah.
And he built it up and he was enjoying it. And then his house was robbed and they took all his money. And he said, I can't believe it. I feel so relaxed. There's no way when I started this, I would feel relaxed. I'd be tearing the walls down, you know, I'd be robbed. And he said, he just started again. He had so much freedom because he got past the critical mass point and he was free. He couldn't go back to that stress.
Wow.
It was incredible.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful talking to you. I think I think a lot of people listening to this hopefully will feel motivated not only to buy your book, but also apparently you have a course coming up or something.
Yeah, start in April this year. We're launching the Financial Freedom Accelerator. So it's a year-long course where you're going week by week, and then you get videos and emails every week to steps forward. You also get copies of all my other books I've written about, and also you get me question and answer sessions with me once a quarter. Plus, I do a group healing for everyone on certain issues that the people are working on. And if someone wants to go to another level, I actually offer it monthly group healings for financial issues, financial stress, changing the belief systems, reprogramming on the unconscious level. Because sometimes we're building our foundation, but we keep getting influence from our genetics, from our family history. So I've got to remove that from people so they have the freedom to grow their financial freedom system.
I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Daniel. It's been an absolute pleasure.
It has. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome. And to everyone listening, thank you so much for listening to the Mindset Change podcast with me and Daniel White. I will put his details in the show notes so that you can contact him or you can contact me and ask any questions about our work together and see what happens from there. Have a wonderful, peaceful, and present day.